Well, look at that. It's a 9 o'clock stretch, my friends. Let's see. Yep. Went to the gym yesterday. Greg even made an appearance, allegedly.
I did.
It's alleged.
Well, there were people who saw me during the short time that I was there, so I have witnesses.
He gets GPS credit. He drove through the parking lot.
No. I was in the building.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. I actually touched the machines.
We'll go easy on you then. Good morning and welcome. 7 after 9, time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Malcolm Jamal Warner has died. Yeah. Little Theo Huxtable. Well, he's not so little, but he was 54 years old. And he died, apparently alleged drowning, Costa Rica, on vacation. It's awful. That was a big show. It was a big time. Mm-hmm. He got a Emmy nomination for that. And he won a Grammy. But that was for something else. But anyway, that's sad. 54. Costa Rica, drowning. It's just sad. It is sad.
Yeah.
Almost as sad as Angel Reese.
Ugh.
Claiming that she has suffered from cyberbullying.
Wait a minute. Is this a pot kettle scenario here?
It's possible.
Okay. Because she's a bully.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
Chicago Sky All-Star Angel Reese claims that she has been the victim of cyberbullying since she zoomed to national prominence during her final year on the LSU Tigers women's basketball national championship team in 2023. I've experienced, she said. It was hard for me in the beginning. She was talking to ESPN. After I won the national championship, my whole life changed. She was talking to Al Duncan from ESPN, and that was the first time I had seen negativity like that on social media. I thought I had a huge following before, but it skyrocketed to millions. It was bigger than basketball when they were finding my address, my car. I had to change my whole lifestyle. It doesn't bother me as much anymore, just because I feel like I've built a thicker skin, but not everybody has a thick skin. And that's why I think players always come up to me and ask me, "Are you okay? How are you doing?" Really? I don't really know if it's genuine, but I'm starting to open up and branch a little bit. Okay. So I thought that, that she was a little bully when it came to like Caitlin Clark. Wasn't she the one that sort of kind of started that whole thing?
Just been a total punk. I mean, seriously.
Tell me how you really feel.
Well, I can't, because then I'd end up sounding kind of like, you know, Hunter Biden.
Which you have to beep a whole lot of it out. You do. Donald Trump Jr. posted a meme Monday depicting the infamous O.J. Simpson police chase with former President Barack Obama's face superimposed on Simpson and President Donald Trump in a police car pursuing him.
That was funny.
Did he come up with that?
I don't know.
Was that like a repost? Because I saw it.
I liked it. Yeah.
It was kind of funny.
It was good. Yeah.
Trump Jr. posted the meme after the bombshell revelation and documents director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard released Friday that show the Obama administration officials created the Russian collusion hoax, the reason, you know, you'd call it a hoax, after Trump won the 2016 election. And these allegations are big. And the meme, well, unfortunately, the meme will get more people laughing and sharing that. Much more, unfortunately, than those that'll even look into the document story just a little bit. And they're already showing that these legacy media folks, you know, the old school left of center people, they're not going to give the story any weight. They've only invited like Democrats on basically to try to delegitimize Tulsi Gabbard and her work.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to know something about this story, why wouldn't they go to the director of National Intelligence? Because that is Tulsi Gabbard. Who would know more about the information that she's released than her? But they don't go to her. Why? Because they want an easy interview where it's bash Tulsi, bash Trump, poo-poo anything that comes out that's negative toward Obama, Brennan and Comey and Clapper. This is It's a very, very serious, like, set of allegations against them. And this is using, you know, government documentation, but really their own stuff, using it against them. But the memes caught fire, and maybe that will draw more attention to the actual, you know, material that we're referring to. The meme, derived from a June 17th, 1994 police chase, shows a stoic Obama behind the wheel of Simpson's white Ford Bronco. Trump is superimposed into one of the police cars pursuing Obama, and an often memed and heavily photoshopped image of Vice President J.D. Vance's face is situated in another police car behind the president. Trump Jr. Posted the meme with three laughing emojis. Yep. And it follows a post from President Trump on Sunday, which featured an artificial intelligence-crafted video of him and Obama sitting in the Oval Office before FBI agent arrest Obama at Trump's signal, while Trump looks on and smiles. Trump's trademark rally song, YMCA, plays during the fictional apprehension of Obama. Yeah, with the AI stuff, things are going to get a little bit twisted up, I think.
Yeah, they are.
Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines, and Pete, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to talk about laughing at the misfortune of others. Kind of prompted me to do this by that story you were telling us about the little thing that was put on the computer. That's kind of funny. But anyway, that law enforcement officer that was shot in New York a couple days ago, and two guys on a moped. I have to admit, when they showed the video of that moped with the two guys on it pull into the parking lot of the ER, and the guy in front, the guy that got shot, fell off. I have to admit, Bob, I know it's not a Christian thing to do, but I laughed my rear end off. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, no, thank you. I just seen that this morning. I think it was in the New York Post. Yeah, they got video, and it definitely looks to be the same two guys on a moped dressed exactly like the people in the earlier video where he shot that Border Patrol agent in the face. Unbelievable. I mean, and apparently these two robbed some people right before that, just minutes before that. And then apparently they were planning on robbing somebody else right after that. It's like, yeah, we'll hit a few people, so to speak. We'll hit a few people, and then we'll call it a night.
So whatever happens to people like that, you just bring it on yourself.
They both already had deportation notices against them. They all have long criminal records, and yet there they were running around New York. That's your sanctuary city policies, and that's exactly what it'll get you. And apparently, the mayor doesn't necessarily have control over those policies. I guess it's the city council. So public pressure should be on them to change their policy. That sanctuary city policy is not a good one, not in New York, not anywhere. 9:16 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Much more to come, including Speaker Johnson saying, no, we're not going to release more Epstein stuff right now. We have to get ready for recess. I kid you not. On News Talk 97.3, The Sky. Good morning and welcome. Happy Trash Talking Tuesday from Florence Recycling. Yeah. Wow, we're into the 9 o'clock stretch hour, about 30 minutes away from things that make you smile. You can start thinking about that as well. It is 9:20, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. What's going on? Lead poisoning in China? No.
Really?
How could that ever happen? They're so careful about what they put in there.
I almost
their
just
products.
Think of China and I think of lead. I mean, seriously, of the stuff that comes from there.
I remember the good old days when you'd say, get the lead out, and you were referring to playing some Led Zeppelin records, but no, not anymore. Apparently, get the lead out means get the lead out of our food.
Oh.
Chinese government. An investigation conducted by the government of Gansu province in China found that hospitals in one of the local cities, falsified medical records to conceal lead poisoning in over 200 kindergarten children. Ooh. So it's bad enough that it happened.
Yeah.
But then they had to cover it up and conceal that fact.
What happened?
What happened was they were trying to make, I guess, their food look more appealing. So they decided to use food dyes, except these were toxic food dyes.
Oh, so they probably weren't supposed to even be on food at all.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep, the case has horrified and outraged people across China. Hundreds of students became ill. This happened back in March. Local hospitals claimed that they could find no common cause. But when parents took their children to hospitals outside the province, they quickly discovered the children had huge amounts of lead in their systems.
Wow.
Investigators discovered the potentially life-threatening lead poisoning. You know, it causes brain damage, too.
Oh, yeah.
If it doesn't kill you, right? Yeah. It was caused by school administrators ordering their chefs to slather the food with paint so it would look better in promotional photos and videos.
Oh, my goodness.
The chefs used pigments purchased online, of course.
Well, that's safe. It probably came from China.
Probably from somewhere else in China.
Yeah.
That were clearly labeled toxic. Toxic.
Wow.
I don't know the Mandarin word for that.
No.
Some of the sick children ingested over 2,000 times the maximum safe level of lead. Yeah.
That's awful.
It is awful.
Well, but how many times have you said it? You know, people talk about, well, you know, why would the Chinese do such and such? It's like, because they don't care about their people. They don't care.
Yeah.
And this is a great example.
Well, yeah, I guess when you got, you know, over a billion.
We'll make more.
Make more.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, police raided the kindergarten and arrested 8 staff members soon after the story broke. But the secondary scandal, as so many officials evidently colluded to conceal the extent of the seriousness of the children's lead-induced illnesses. Wow. Investigators said on Sunday that 10 provincial officers are under investigation for oversight failures. Investigators said both Gansu CDC and other local hospitals falsified test results for the children. Wow. Officials under accountability discipline investigation include the Communist Party chief for the health commission there, the director of the commission, et cetera, and the mayor of that city as well. Wow. So they really, this was like a big cover up. And can you imagine that? Like, you live in a communist regime and you're going to do something that could get you in trouble and then you're going to cover it up?
Wow.
I mean, what do you think's going to happen?
Hmm.
Probably a one-way ticket to Mexico City. See if they can get across the border.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah. Not anymore.
Not that that's ever happened before or anything.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Sheriff Trump.
Sheriff Donald J. Trump.
Oh, yeah, we like him.
Wow, this just, it's just so sad and sick.
It is.
Yeah. Even when there is overarching, overreaching government, every aspect of your life, still these things can happen. And maybe because of it. Why do they have to make the food look good in promotional photos and videos?
Right. Well, face it. Public image from China, everything's fake.
Well, yeah. I mean, okay, I'm just imagining that, like in America, okay, say it's a private school.
Right.
She'd make everything look great. Look at the clean classrooms.
Yes.
Look at how neat everything is. Look at the good food that we serve, right? That would be a selling point. But they don't have competition.
No.
You got the official, you know, government school.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I just, wow. Another crazy thing. But oh, speaking of, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Speaking of crazy.
Yeah.
Here's a simple story where I'm trying to be a truth teller.
Okay.
This is a story about a man who somehow ended up being pulled into an MRI machine and later died.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sad story. He was 61 years old. Now, I got the BBC online and even the New York Post had, at least at some point in the telling of this story, saying that the man was wearing, this is an MRI, remember? Magnetics?
Yes. Yep.
Wearing a 20-pound chain. 20 pounds.
See, we didn't hear that at first. He had a chain around his neck, and we're just envisioning, well, my goodness, I mean, you know, I see these that Bob wears on a regular basis. I mean, how strong could that have been?
But now incredibly strong.
This changes everything.
Well, but, Okay, so we didn't hear it at first. I heard it pretty early on. Then I had to look it up because in later articles is where I'm having difficulty finding it. Because if that's the case, that doesn't blow away anything that the family is trying to do in terms of a lawsuit? And that's exactly where they're headed, by the way. A family of a Long Island man who tragically died in a freak MRI-related accident is claiming that the technician is at fault for their loved one's death. This was Nassau Open MRI. Wednesday afternoon, Keith McAllister, 61, was pulled into the machine by its powerful magnetic force and remained stuck for nearly an hour before being freed. Now, don't you think at this point, the article, and this is from Fox News, don't you think in the article at this point, you would mention, what is it that pulled him into the machine? If you walk into a room randomly while an MRI is going on, you're not going to get pulled into the machine. And you could even be wearing some jewelry, and it's certainly going to pull on it, tug on it, might even rip it off your neck if it's a thin enough chain. But it's not going to pull you into the machine. But it's a very powerful magnetic force. And they're very careful at all these places.
Yeah.
To teach you that, you go into a room, you take off all your jewelry before you go into the MRI machine. Now, they're claiming that the operator, this is from, according to their daughter, Samantha Bowden, the MRI technician left the room during the procedure to get McAllister to assist his wife, but failed to warn him about the dangers of wearing metal near the machine. I find it hard to believe that the technician would walk out of the room while the machine's still going on.
Yeah.
If the woman needs help, then I would imagine you'd turn the machine off.
Uh-huh.
But I would imagine.
But they're saying that he was going to go get the husband to help.
Yeah, right.
You're not going to do that while it's running. You're not going to walk in there while it's running. And the guy's got a 20-pound chain around him, and you're going to forget to mention that?
It's kind of hard to miss.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. That's not tucked under your shirt discreetly.
I think they went in for a scan and left with a scam. Thank you very much. 928 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Coming up in 15 minutes, Things That Make You Smile, brought to you by Transformation Dentistry and Dr. Samantha Annis. More headlines, top stories, all on the way. News Talk, 97.3 The Sky. All right, it's going to be another awesome day. We're going to make sure, right? 9:35, Bob Rose Show rolling. Greg Cassidy is here. Hey, is Hunter Biden still talking on that podcast?
Yep.
It must be him.
Still, that's him.
Nobody gets beeped out like...
Yeah.
Nobody gets beeped out more than Hunter Biden.
He's been going on all morning long. I mean, we've we've checked in several times and we hear the same thing.
Drunken sailors everywhere filing lawsuits.
Oh, they're just embarrassed.
That's how much he's cussing.
They're embarrassed. Bob.
Yeah, they're embarrassed. They can't follow
they're blushing,
that act.
You know?
Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard revealed that the Trump administration has released more than 200,000 files, which is over 230 or 40,000 pages. Details about the MLK Jr. assassination. Details regarding the FBI investigation into the assassination, as well as internal FBI memos detailing the process of the case, along with other information. All right. So that's declassified. President Trump also declassified, along with the MLK stuff, former President John F. Kennedy and his brother Robert F. Kennedy. And so some of these things are occurring. However, when it comes to the Epstein thing, are they taking some kind of a pause? Mm. House Speaker Mike Johnson said there'll be no vote on some documents relating to the Jeffrey Epstein case before Congress breaks for the August recess. Johnson made the announcement after the House Rules Committee advanced the measure last week, and the lower chamber prepares to break for a weeks-long August recess, according to The Hill. Johnson told reporters the House will not vote on the resolution before the August recess, adding that he wants to give the Trump administration more time. Here's the problem with these timelines. You know, various administrations can have access to those things, right, through the course of time and years. How do we know what documentation has been changed, taken out, or added to? That's kind of the big question.
Yeah.
If you've got, if you think you've got some bad actors, and I certainly think we do, if you've got some bad actors, say, in the intel community, well, in some cases, would you even know if they had done something?
Well, like with the JFK files. Again, they said, we gave you everything we have. And to both you and I both were like, well, yeah, they've had decades to clean up what they have.
Yeah. Yeah. What if they have something that really points to, let's say, the CIA, for instance?
Well, did we really believe the response and the answers from the Warren Commission? Seriously?
Not so much.
Not so much, no.
Although even then, it was a more naive time in America.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah.
All right. House Speaker Mike Johnson also mentioned this. He said that Congress may subpoena former President Barack Obama for allegedly colluding with America's intelligence agencies to tie President Donald Trump to Russia during the 2016 election. And actually, this crosses over to after the election. Apparently, that's that Obama was even more furious that Trump had won.
Well, and so that also goes back to the whole, you know, immunity kind of thing. Things he did in office versus things he might have done after he was in office. Two different things.
Gabbard was very direct when she talked with Maria Bartiromo. She said their goal, meaning the Obama administration and the intel folks and all that, their goal was to subvert the will of the American people and enact what was essentially a years-long coup with the objective of trying to usurp the president from fulfilling the mandate bestowed upon him by the American people. She further accused the Obama administration of an egregious abuse of power and blatant rejection of our Constitution that threatens the very foundation and integrity of our democratic republic. She further asserted that the former president and his national security cabinet members manufactured, not twisted, turned, whatever, manufactured and politicized intelligence to lay groundwork for falsifying claims that Russia influenced the 2016 election in favor of Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton. The implications of this are, frankly, nothing short of historic. Over 100 documents that we released on Friday really detail and provide evidence of how this treasonous conspiracy was directed by President Obama, if just weeks before he was due to leave office after President Trump had already gotten elected. This is not a Democrat or Republican issue. This is an issue that is so serious it should concern every single American because it has to do with the integrity of our democratic republic. Mm-hmm. So on the mainstream media, they either blew the story off in most cases, or they would ask a Democrat politician guest to comment on it. And remember, Tulsi Gabbard left the Democrat Party, left him in the dust. Do you think there's any love lost for her? Come on. So, of course, they had to try to diminish what she was doing and saying. Here's their excuse. Oh, Tulsi's just making this up to get back in the good graces of Trump.
Right.
Is that ridiculous?
It is.
So what, she's making it up? She's got the documents.
Right. Hey, but in Obama's defense, it can't be really treason because he wasn't born here, so there's that.
So, you know, wow.
Just kidding, maybe.
Wonder what they're serving up in that Kenya luncheon, that mom and pop luncheon.
What do you put on dog, anyway? I don't know what you got some sides with that? I mean, how does that work?
I'll have to think about
that. That's the main entree. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, you know, for steak, you have A1.
Yeah.
For dog, you've got K9.
I knew it.
Under my own brain power.
Yes.
Without
even
snorting Ambien like the former President Biden did before his debate.
Before everything, apparently.
Yeah, wait till they get a load of me. Bring that Trump fellow out. I'm going to beat him up like I did Corn Pop.
And then he went to
sleep.
It's going to
be another day at the at the pool where I'm lifeguarding with my hairy legs.
Okay. What a presidency. Oh, man.
Really something else.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah. 52 years of service, S. Hunter. Yes, service.
Yeah, 52 years.
Yeah, he serviced his bank account at everyone else's expense.
Yeah, well, and serviced his family, too, though. Remember, he was the big guy.
Oh, yeah.
The big guy.
Oh, yeah.
Fire aid money. What they raised, somewhere $50 to $100 million they raised on this a fire aid. I believe it was $100 million.
Yeah, you mentioned yesterday there were some questions about where that went.
Yeah, and in some cases it sounds like it went where it was supposed to, but that was relatively small amounts of money versus $100 million. Yeah. And then there was a journalist who had a lot of question marks about it, who was an independent journalist, of course. Money raised by Hollywood for victims of the LA fires through fire aid went to political groups like the California Native Vote Project.
Native Vote Project.
Did their building burn down? I don't see that here.
Wonder why they got a bunch of money.
Huh.
Wonder who they're connected to.
And it also went to a state volunteer corps run by Governor Gavin Newsom's office.
Oh, really? Wow.
$2.5 million for a salon bill? No, I'm making that up.
Yeah, it could have been, though.
The Fire Aid concert, January 30th, featured a star-studded lineup. Two separate stadiums raised some $100 million in public donation, supposed to help the victims of the Palisades and Eaton fires. But as Breitbart reported on Sunday, there's controversy over whether the money is being spent properly. On one hand, local ABC affiliate reported the money is being spent by organizations that received it. On the other, none of the money is going directly to fire victims, but only to nonprofit groups. Fire victims who have benefited from fire aid funds have only done so indirectly through the organizations. Well, look, if these organizations are tasked with identifying who is impacted, who's, you know, who lost a home and other things, and they want to try to help those people, maybe they are in a position to do that more effectively than, say, any organization. You know, it would be time and energy, and wouldn't you have to work like, say, somebody who know, you know, you have to have, like, the, you know, who's on the, who owns a home. All those documents related to that, right? New local outlet, Circling the News, it's called, reports it's clear that some of the groups who have received fire aid funding have only tenuous connections at best to the areas affected by fires. One group that received funding is that I mentioned earlier, California Native Vote Project, a political nonprofit that exists to encourage Native Americans to participate in the political process. What in the world would that have to do with the people that lost their homes or businesses?
Right.
The Fire Aid website reports that the cash was intended for financial assistance for displaced and affected Native families, expanded healing and mental health services, and distribution of critical health and safety resources. According to the Census Bureau, there were 16 Native American residents of Pacific Palisades, but that's 16 out of nearly 23,000. There were slightly more Native Americans in Altadena. There were 46 there out of 43,000 residents.
Okay.
Now, so, yeah, the California Native Vote Project is officially nonpartisan, but its political ideology is radical. It boasts about its success in removing statues of Christopher Columbus.
Oh, my God.
That's what we did today.
Wow.
Yep. And it opposes the enforcement of federal immigration law. Standing with the undocumented population against immigration and customs enforcement. Now, isn't that odd?
Huh.
The people who are truly native or right. have their roots that go back thousands of years versus maybe a couple hundred years, isn't that interesting that they would be for open borders?
That doesn't, yeah.
They hate Christopher Columbus, but they love open borders? What the heck?
I don't think invasions are really on their palate.
Isn't that weird, though?
That's weird.
Yeah. Another recipient is a group called Cal Volunteers. It's a state-run organization. It's actually run out of Newsom's office, supposed to be funded by taxpayers. So they're pushing this money into what normally would be taxpayer-funded. Again, I would like to know, are the families, the true victims of this fire, are they getting help? If it comes through one of these other organizations, I don't necessarily have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Are they going to take a few points off the top for their supposed overhead? Again, if it's reasonable, I wouldn't have a problem with that. But why is it so hard to track all this? Why do you have like three news organizations trying to track this down? Shouldn't they have a one sheet on it? Here's what we collected. Here's where the money's been appropriated so far. Here's the people who have benefited from it.
Oh, you and that whole accountability thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, accounting got its start dealing with money. So accountability, but yes.
Math matters.
Math matters.
In this sense, yeah.
Yeah, I might not be an expert at math, but I had a paper out. So I know how to count money.
Yep.
It is 9:48 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is time for things that make you smile. We're looking for upbeat, positive, non-political thoughts. Come on. You can do it. And it's brought to you by Transformation Dentistry and Dr. Samantha Annis. So don't be shy. Call in now. 877-975-9825. Things that make you smile is next on 97.3 The Sky. Hey, hey, now's your chance to call in for things that make you smile, upbeat positive thoughts. You know, count your blessings kind of thing. Even when, you know, things aren't going well, there's something you can do and say, well, you know what? At least we've got this. At least we've got that. All right? You want to do that? Call in now. 877-975-9825. Good morning and welcome. It's 9:52. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And Things That Make You Smile is brought to you by Transformation Dentistry and Dr. Samantha Annis. Once again, call in now, 877-975-9825. And Greg, what's making you smile?
Well, I know it's a little thing, but sometimes between the face-melting heat and the tropical storms that we've had in our area, I had a break and got to finally mow my front yard yesterday, so I'm not the embarrassed one of, is Greg ever going to mow his lawn again? So
yeah,
that's a little thing, but it made
You're
me happy that I got it
done. You're in a neighborhood where people, you know, take a look, see
yes.
what's going on there.
We know who mows and who doesn't.
Yeah.
Also, I can't make it political because it's, you know, political.
But
I did get an invite to an event today, of which there might be some folks there that, you know, we find of interest.
Are politically associated in some way, possibly.
I'll talk about that tomorrow since I don't want to make this
But you know what makes me smile?
What's that?
Hopefully we'll have something interesting that perhaps you have learned
yes.
by this invite and that you can share it with us on the air tomorrow.
Yes.
Between 6 and 10 a.m.
I'll be listening carefully.
Oh, you'll be listening carefully.
To the show, so I'll make sure I hear it. And everybody else should, too.
All right.
Yep.
What else do we got? Things that make you smile. Let me see.
Got?
Well, I have not been, I was going to say nagged. I have not been.
I wondered if you were going to choose your words carefully.
I have not been asked to do any chores lately.
Yes. Uh-huh. Someone's out of town, right?
Betsy's out of town.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
you gave away the secret. All right. And don't tell her I said that, okay? Coming up next, it's the Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. Hang on. Time now for the Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. A conservative law group, American First Legal, filed complaints Monday with the Tennessee Attorney General and the EEOC alleging Cracker Barrel is maintaining discriminatory employment practices stemming from their DEI policies. They use public documents, internal records, and Cracker Barrel's own language to allege the company maintains illegal DEI framework, now calling it culture and belonging. Okay. How about some damage control? Here's an idea. Just shorten the restaurant's name to Cracker. And yes, that is your Smoking Gun. The Smoking Gun is brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. On behalf of Greg Cassidy, I'm Bob Rose. God bless you and your family. Have a great, safe day. See ya.